What's good, good people? It is your man Dante Miles. We are back in the building once again. Episode 10, mini milestone. You know, we usually celebrate around 50, but you know, with this group, I'm proud that we made it to 10 episodes. So this is episode 10 of the High and Outside podcast. You already know where you can follow me at on Twitter and now Instagram, October's on Tay. For all things Barber Chair, make sure you follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Barber's Chair Co. Subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/Barber's Chair Network. We have four different tiers, all very affordable. The cheapest one, I believe, is $5. The most expensive is $10. So not too much money that we're asking for, but we do need the funds to help bringing these great podcasts to you and doing more with our coverage. So just go ahead and check us out there. If you want to support us by getting some merch, make sure you check out bcnetshop.com. And for everything else Barber's Chair related, from every podcast, every editorial, everything we got going, updates about live events, make sure you check us out at thebcnet.com. We're going to have a quick show for y'all today. We do have a full boat. The whole team is here. Let me go ahead and bring everybody in. How y'all feeling?
I'm feeling fantastic. You know, we are very lucky that we get to talk about baseball. And baseball is very lucky that there is something worthy of being discussed, especially in the midst of, you know, the Stanley Cup final ending, the NBA finals still going on. It's nice that baseball had like a slight bit of relevancy this week on a national level.
No, absolutely. I felt really good. I got a chance to go to the ballpark. Talk to some people. You know, I think half of the battle these days, you know, is going and actually trying to create legitimate relationships so you can get information that's credible. And so it was interesting, you know, somebody who remained nameless brought up something that I said on the show unprovoked. And so it's just really interesting to see how in tune we are with everything. And it's been fun. Like you said, I really enjoyed everything we do. And I was glad to have a full house today. Sid, how you feeling, bro?
Initially, pretty good. Life is good. Life is great. I'm watching Chris Sale pitch a complete game on the Mets 5-0 right now. So 108 pitches, just got Juan Soto on a ground out, who is having a career year in ground outs. It's fine. Everything's fine. It's just June. But, like, I hate losing division games. Like, it's so dumb.
Yeah, but I, you know, I think this, I said it, you know, this was sink or swim. We play the Mets, the Phillies, and then the Mets again. So you got a lot of games coming up
that are really the time to,
what the Braves are going to do. So, you know, Ronnie hit the home run, lead off the game, first pitch type shit. You know, just he's batting 400.
Hey, I saw it. Okay, we understand.
I'm just saying, man, that crack of the bat sounds different when you in the stadium. It's just, it's electric.
How did Juan Soto sound yesterday?
It was pretty damn good. I'm not going to lie to you. That was a good home run. Malik, how you feeling, bro?
I'm feeling good. I got to see a few Bobby Witt Jr. home runs, so I think it's one of the best ball players in the game. What was this weekend? Father's Day weekend. I took a few days off at the park and went. I took my took some friends up to the game on Saturday and then had my dad with me on Sunday to watch some. The White Sox competed. You know, it's not a – complete crap shoot. They pitched well, took the L's, but it's been good over here.
Absolutely, bro. And speaking of Sox, you know, a different kind of Sox made a really big splash. We're going to kick it off with that, of course. It's only right. The Rafi Devers situation is something we've been monitoring all season. And, you know, we didn't know how it was going to end up, but we didn't expect this. I don't think anybody expected with the money they've invested into this guy and his production in that uniform that, you know, a few tiffs here and there would lead to him being shipped across the country to the San Francisco Giants. He's traded for Jordan Hicks and a few other players. Nobody who's really like of the ilk of Rafael Devers. So, you know, that led a lot of us to question, you know, was it that bad? Like, I understand he didn't want to play the positions, but was it that bad that you had to trade the guy? And if you're the Red Sox, you're now looking like you're 1-for-3 in terms of players you moved on from who you shouldn't have. Like, the Bogaerts deal looks like you shouldn't have re-signed him. He's getting a lot of money to be terrible. But now you trade Devers, you traded Mookie, and we see how that has ended up. So it's a situation where, like, if you're the Red Sox and, you know, that ownership group, Mr. Henry, they've gotten a lot of flack over the years for not trying to build a winner in one of the best baseball markets in America. So, Courtney, I'll start with you. How do you feel about the Devers trade and just all of the fallout behind what's going on in Boston?
The more that I sit on this, I spoke about it in depth on I'm Not Gonna Hold You this week on that week's episode. So definitely tap in there if you haven't already with us. But the more that I sit in it, and, you know, especially with all the comments that come out from guys like David Ortiz, who I want to make it abundantly clear, David Ortiz is employed by the Boston Red Sox. So it is not shocking to me at all that he took the side of the Red Sox and basically implied that Rafael Devers has poor communication skills. And that's why the relationship between the Red Sox and Devers fell apart. And maybe some of that is true. I don't necessarily think that Rafael Devers is blameless. Right. He went from being the starting everyday third baseman to being told that they were bringing in another third baseman. But they were told he was told that that third baseman was actually going to play second base. So like no worries there. But then, oh, nope, actually, we're going to have him play third. You can put your glove away. And then converts to a full time DH, which David Ortiz himself said, that's not an easy thing to do, to convert to being an everyday DH. It's not easy. He did it, and yes, the first couple of weeks weren't great for the Red Sox, for him and the Red Sox, but, you know, he really stepped it up and has arguably been the best DH in the American League so far. And then you ask him to play first base, and I really think there are some hurt, bruised egos, and that's why this trade happened when it did, how it did, and with the organization that he ended up going to. I've said it, the timing is just so auspicious. You had ample opportunities for a trade elsewhere, and you didn't shop him around at all, which I think that's organizational malpractice. You know, and then you didn't even get their top prospect in Bryce Eldridge. I think it's organizational malpractice. The Red Sox did not get better with this trade. The Giants definitely got better, though, and they arguably got an elite bat. He has, you know, an over 900 OPS. They got an elite bat for way less than what standard market value would command for a batter of his caliber.
Absolutely. Hey, Malik, how you feel about the trade and everything that's been going on with Rafael Devers?
Whenever I got that notification, it hit me with PTSD of, I forget, what was it, late March, around 11 p.m. when Luka Doncic gets moved out of Dallas out of thin air. They were what, off a sweep of the Yankees? Devers homered that day. And then the San Francisco Giants are playing on Sunday Night Baseball. It was a crazy, crazy few minutes. I get the salary dump. That's what it really seems like. And if I think we're going to know pretty early, I think in the next less than a year or so, who is the winner and loser on this trade, because the Red Sox, they got to spend that money on something. And I think guys like GM Craig Breslow, and I'll even say Alex Cora, they're on an immediate hot seat. They're what I believe a game and a half. Two games out of a wild card currently, but the Red Sox, they're 8-2 in their last few games. So they need to get a playoff spot with whoever, if they don't make any moves and they got to roll with these young guys, Cora needs to show that he can get them there. From the Giants perspective, which I think is a perspective that everybody's missing. I think they found a piece that can push them to the World Series. They've been competitive with bullpen wise, pitching wise, been competitive for a while. And then they're already one of the top teams in the NL, just a little bit behind Los Angeles. And they got to me when I first started watching baseball.
What are you saying? You muted yourself, Dante. We good?
What about now?
There we go.
We're back. I was going to say Malik, bro. I didn't want to cut you off, but I do want you to save that because we're going to go into the Giants next. As far as how you feel about everything they got going. You were saying some things I do agree with, but we're going to save that just for one second.
Yeah, that actually makes me – I want you to expand upon that when we get there, because that makes me sick to my stomach, actually. It makes me physically ill.
Yeah, but, I mean, for the – just with the drama around it, I mean, when you – as you hear things come out, it gets a lot worse on Devers' end, you know, and I agree. That was some miscommunication, but hearing that he kind of dissed Christian Campbell, who's just trying to get on the field and play ball, what you need to do in the big leagues, hearing him diss him, trying to get to first base. I can't believe that was random. I know they came out yesterday, what was that, Tuesday, and they said that he didn't request a trade. I'll believe it. I'll believe that some other lifetime. I think they everything was brewing up soon, and at least they didn't make him take the cross country flight out to Seattle just to send them back somewhere else. So,
well, you know what they said, the actual, like, when it was kind of decided that they were going to trade him, right? When John Henry, owner of the Red Sox, flew to Kansas City when the Red Sox were playing the Royals, and that was kind of like the straw that broke the camel's back, is John Henry had to fly to Kansas City to have a talk with Rafael Devers and be like, yo, we need you to be a team player. He didn't say this, obviously, but in more or less words, told the guy who was paying his $313 million contract out, to go scratch. I totally understand, like, when you get paid that amount of money, you should want to do what's best for the team, right? And you should want to do what's best for the organization. But at what point do you, as an athlete, have to decide you need to do what's best for yourself also, right? And your psyche? Again, being a full-time DH is not easy. And not only is being a full-time DH not easy, just I don't like this idea that one can just start taking grounders at first base, especially someone like Rafael Devers, who is not incredibly athletic to begin with, like, fantastic hitter. I don't want to take that away from him at all. One of the best hitters in baseball. But like this notion that he can just, after being one of the worst defensively ranked third basemen, if not the worst defensive third baseman, this idea that he can just like go play first base and is going to be good at it. That's mind blowing to me that they thought it just was something that would be that easy.
Sid, how you feel?
Obviously going to echo a lot of the same statements, but I think to me, this kind of represents a repudiation of like the Chaim Bloom guys. Obviously those are the guys that like come up with the Sox and everything and have been a part of this core that have kind of should have more World Series, have had really good, traded away Mookie or whatever. I think that's, Craig Breslow trying to do all of that. And, not for nothing, I can't imagine that was his guy in any way or even remotely close the same way. So, like, it is what it is. But, I think this trade should go a lot to the credit of Buster Posey, who is doing a fantastic job right now in San Francisco.
I really didn't think that I would have to worry about Buster Posey wreaking havoc on me after he retired. Yet here we are. Here we are again. It's like a fucking nightmare, honestly. It's a nightmare.
Yeah. Well, you got to really shout out. You got to tip your cap to Buster. I think that's something that we were all worried about. Anytime a legacy player like that gets the job and you're like, is he getting it just because of his name or is it his baseball acumen? But with Buster, you clearly see this is a guy who, and I mean, it was a heat check trade. They said, they were asking about somebody else. The guy was like, I can't even tell you who we're really asking about. But Buster said, hey, fuck it. Ask him about Rafi. And here we are. And so, that's
it. Was
that
direct.
In a group chat, Dante.
It had to be.
It had to be.
Yeah.
And then
it was direct.
In the group chat, they sent a thumbs up emoji. That's crazy to know that a trade involving one of the best hitters in baseball involved thumbs up emojis from your baseball ops staff. That's crazy.
Yeah, at least it didn't get leaked through a Signal chat, but I mean, that's a different story. But back to Malik, like I said, bro, you brought up some good points about the Giants. I'm going to swing it right back to you. Talk to us about these new look Giants, bro. That NL West is already a dogfight, and now you're talking about three really good teams at the top.
Yeah, and I mean, if you think about it, he's the best hitter they've ever had since Barry Bonds. Posey could rake a little bit, but besides that, Bruce Bochy was winning with scraps and with pitching. He changes that lineup so much. Maybe makes him one of the top of I say above average ones in the league. Wilmer Flores will be at first base. They'll get Matt Chapman back soon. Jung Ho Lee plays a good style of baseball. So you get a guy like that, it changes how you have to pitch to him. It changed it, it's the Aaron Judge type guy in the lineup or for the Kansas City Royals, that Bobby Witt, that just explosive type player that you have to give so much attention to who's batting before him, and you have to give so much attention to whoever going after him when it, in terms of who's on base for him. I think that they can compete for sure with the Dodgers. The Dodgers, they're going to be tough. And the Giants, I believe they've lost. They've lost their last three games. I'm sorry, entering Wednesday night. So we'll see if what happens when they get comfortable. But in terms of just adding the elite at bat, they have not had a better, for sure, left-handed power bat in that lineup since Barry Bonds was on the team.
Can I ask a question?
Yeah, go ahead.
Some people might be mad at me for saying it. If Buster Posey is going about his business and acquiring elite bats and people who are upset with the idea of being paid or lack thereof, Kyle Schwarber, are you on the line for San Francisco? Like, that just...
He would rake in that ballpark.
That would be disgusting, actually.
We already have established that people do listen to the show, because there's no way that like people.
Wait, shit, you're right.
Don't go giving them any crazy ideas, okay?
They do. I can see them making another move.
Oh, and the deadline for sure. They're going to make some.
They may not done. Yeah.
No.
And again, like aggressive. Aggressive does not mean selling. Aggressive does mean like the flipping of pieces and the formations of teams that should be winning more World Series. I do think that the Giants, they can pitch pretty well. I think that the Phillies bullpen, they might have paid the wrong people this summer or this winter. I think Kyle Schwarber's unhappy.
Yeah, that window is closed. I'll be the one to say it. No one else is gonna say it. The Phillies window is closed.
Cool.
They didn't win in 2022, didn't win in 2023, they're cooked.
Didn't want to be the NL East guy to say that, but I think it might be time to start looking at offloading some assets a la Aaron Nola and Kyle Schwarber.
I mean, let me ask you a question, because Zach Wheeler said he's retiring when his contract is up. Would you trade him?
Mm-hmm.
Just throwing it out there. Do you trade him? I know it's kind of shady if it's like he's telling you, hey, guys, this is it for me. But, I mean, business is business. If I can get something for him.
If we haven't already established that already, business is business.
And he's still a elite arm. So, like.
Correct. Again, if you're the Phillies, it's a great business idea. It's a great decision. I just wonder what you'd have to give up for 2 years of Zach Wheeler.
Yeah, it really is. Because my whole thing is, when we start talking about trades, and like baseball is one of those sports where people can't do it like the NBA or NFL, where you just throw shit into the trade machine. It's like, yeah, they're going to do this. Like, it's like, who can I actually trade somebody for and get real value back? Not a couple of fringe prospects and guys that may hit. And if they hit, it's like, okay, cool. Like, for example, when the Cubs traded Javi, like, they asked for the top of the top, and they ended up with PCA, and you see what PCA is doing now. Certain guys, you're not going to get a PCA type of player in return. So you have to ask those tough questions when it's like, okay, do I need to add a little bit more to this deal so I can get back some prospects that truly help me jump into, you know, the level I'm trying to get to, or what? So that's interesting with the Phillies. But let me ask you same thing. How you feel about these Giants?
I feel good about them. We talk so much about how like baseball should be this continual sport of like, you know, like you play for the franchise, you contribute to the franchise, you stay around the franchise. I saw Barry Bonds and Rafael Devers together in a picture like 2 days ago. That's fucking awesome. That is the price of other teams messing up. It's that you get Barry Bonds to come back into the fold and say, oh yeah, that's my son now. So that's great for everyone. Hopefully Barry Bonds will do more with that. But just from the baseball side, this offseason, I looked at them. I said, why are you getting Justin Verlander? Why are you getting older arms? Why are you recommitting to Wilmer Flores? And obviously the people in San Francisco know way more than I do, because they're rolling and rocking. And so this is good. I think to this point, you know, franchises are rounding into who they are, or at least for the season. And I think that, you know, it would not be remiss of me, I don't think, to think that the Giants are going to end up in a better place than the Padres, just because I think the Padres have a lot of dead money, and Xander Bogaerts is like DFA candidate of the year. So yeah, there's a lot going on there, but I think the Giants are doing a bang up job. Great job. Two thumbs up for Buster Posey. Big fan of the guy's work aside from 2016.
Very valid. Court, how you feel about not only the Giants, but just how they look in that division and everything that's going forward? Because, you know, one thing I have to tip my cap to Major League Baseball. I know we complain about everything, but they've done a very good job with the schedule lately, especially in terms of having important matchups when they matter. So how you feel about the Giants going forward? And
thank you for bringing that up, Dante, because you can't tell me that this shit is a coincidence. The timing, again, incredibly auspicious. You could have made this trade at any other point in the season, and you make it 5 days before the Red Sox go into San Francisco to play in that ballpark. You're not fooling me, okay? I've already, just out of curiosity, because I have a buddy up there, I said, how much are those tickets? Let me look. It's not bad. And as someone who loves a good narrative, there have been no announcements actually for the pitching side for the Giants. But I think for the Red Sox, you got Hunter Dobbins pitching on Friday against good old TBD. And then I think it's after that, it's Bayo and then Lucas Giolito closing out on Sunday. So that's going to be an electric series. I'm super excited again, because again, I love a good narrative. But that Giants team, he just completely changes the entire look of that lineup. Again, he has the high, you put him in there, he already has the highest OPS of anybody in that lineup. I think he has like a 906 OPS or something right now. I think the next closest is their leadoff guy, at least in this particular game. I know Jung Woo Lee was batting leadoff too, and now he's batting like sixth or something. But no, their pitching has been fantastic. Justin Verlander just came back tonight. And that's something, again, that just worries me, because as long as their arms are healthy, the lineup's healthy. Yeah, I know they're 3.5 games back of the Dodgers. There's a lot of baseball left to be played. And the Dodgers have like 10 million guys on the injured list right now.
The Giants are not far off from that 102 win season with Gabe Kepler. So like, it's not successes so far away. Like, you know, like this is a kind of revamp of what was already happening, except now there's a bit more sustainability behind it and a really good baseball guy at the top.
Yeah. And I think that's important with building a culture. Like, we talk about this Giants team, and that's what they're doing. You see them, they're rebuilding it. And this is a team that we know when people go to San Francisco, they're going to play hard. They haven't had the success that they were having in the odd years like they were when they were winning the World Series. But having a guy at the top who was a part of that culture, and he can help revitalize it and bring those people in that fit what they do.
That's such a big thing. I know we already gave him his flowers, but like Buster Posey, again, I have been a Dodgers fan for a very long time, so I remember just watching him just be a freaking menace in that division. That being said, the Giants have struggled as of late, and I will say the Dodgers had similar struggles because the gentleman who was in charge of the Dodgers went on to be the president of baseball operations for Anxiety, went to be the president of baseball ops. And again, sometimes... And it's not, I don't mean this in an offensive way, but sometimes these people really overthink it. They really overthink it. You know, the platoon matchups and, oh, the lefty, the righty. You're thinking too much. Sometimes you're thinking too much. Go get a guy that can rake, pay him money, let him hit ball. Like, it's really not that complex. And again, he went out and he traded. Yeah, you gave up, again, Kyle Harrison, nothing really to scoff at, in my opinion. Young starter with great potential. James Tibbs hit like 50, 60 home runs in his career with Florida State. Again, you gave up a couple things, a couple pieces, but you got better because Rafael Devers is in your lineup. And I'm scared and extremely intrigued to watch the Giants the rest of the way.
Absolutely, bro. And we're gonna go and we're gonna transition to another team in the NL West. Before I get into this topic, first of all, I gotta shout out their owner for purchasing the LA Lakers today for $10 billion. This man lives in Chicago, but somehow owns the Lakers and the Dodgers, and I fucking hate it. But that's the situation right now. But we're talking about those LA Dodgers. We already know everything about Shohei. He's on another historic pace as a DH. But yesterday he took the mound for the first time. And well, I believe this was 2 days ago. I'm sorry. But he only pitched an inning. Looked like a guy who hasn't pitched in what, damn near 400 days. So he looked exactly how we expected. So for me, it could be real quick. I'm going to go around the horn. I'll start with Courtney. What do we expect from Shohei as a pitcher, and how often do we expect the Dodgers to utilize him? And before you answer, I'm going to say this. The reason I'm asking this is because we give the Dodgers so much praise, and rightfully so, because they're aggressive. They go get guys. But it's time to start having a conversation about how they fuck pitchers up. It's somebody's always on the disabled list. I mean, on the injured list, like consistently. And these are guys who some didn't have arm trouble before, but those who have, it hasn't gotten better when they got to the Dodgers. So, Courtney, I'm gonna go to you first.
Yeah. Regarding that last remark, regarding the injuries, I have long said that we need to unpack whatever's happening. I mean, it's happening all across the league. We're seeing different, like, if you go look at the probable pitchers for some of the matchups this weekend, it's scary how many TBDs there are. Against certain opponents. It's actually kind of crazy. And again, that's a conversation for another day. Did the removal of the sticky stuff, you know, start fudging with how dudes threw the ball? Again, the emphasis on velocity and that increased torque on your elbow. Again, there's a lot to unpack there. That being said, it's my understanding that the Dodgers only plan to pitch Ohtani once a week at this point. They're saying that it's not necessarily like they don't need him out there. It's more so for him. He wants to contribute. And honestly, yes, again, they have 13 or 14 guys on the injured list right now, pitchers. So, yeah, they need the help that they can get. If he can, yeah, obviously, first start back, that's going to happen. And again, I know his velo probably won't always be as high as it was. It's just that adrenaline first time being back on a major league pitching mound, you know, in an actual game in 2 years. I'm sure, you know, the adrenaline was pumping, but no, the command wasn't great. 28 pitches in an inning was crazy. He did throw the sweeper, though, which I know he's usually like a sinker kind of guy, but he did throw his sweeper 10 times, and that was actually kind of crazy. The stuff plus rate on that sweeper was 143, and just for context, Major League Baseball stuff plus average is 100. Again, got to take something positive. He did give up one run, which arguably I don't know if that should have even been a run just because that I don't think Manny checked his swing on that. I think he went, and that should have been a strikeout, and it would have been his only strikeout of the day because he didn't strike anybody out. But no, I am excited to watch Shohei Ohtani pitch. I hope it doesn't come at the detriment of his hitting because, again, we do have the numbers that show, and we'll get into that another time. But the numbers that show that he obviously his production as a hitter does fall off. The more he pitches. So that's something to look out for if you're the Dodgers. Obviously, I still maintain that he's more valuable as a hitter than he is as a pitcher. But again, you do what you got to do for the team, right? Right? Do what you got to do for the sake of the team, right?
Yeah. And to shoot the Dodgers some bail, I mean, you kind of overdid it on starting pitchers for this very reason. You didn't want to have to use them. Like, this is why you went out and got all these guys. They just happened to get hurt. Sid, I'm going to ask you the same question. How do you feel about what Shohei brings to that rotation and how often he'll be utilized?
So I just want to start, Courtney, you're a woman after my own heart, because I also looked at the average for MLB pitching for that exact stat, for that exact pitch. I also looked at it.
Who are we, Sid?
I know. I was like, a woman after my own heart, like you're truly so cool. And honestly, like, and I was looking at that and I was looking at his splitter. The splitter, he cannot get glove side at all. And that is something that most Japanese pitchers who come into the league do very, very, very well. Shohei was like just off base. And it's so funny that Shohei Ohtani is the person that he is, because he's very expressive on the mound. He is not very expressive when he bats.
Isn't it so weird, the juxtaposition of Shohei Ohtani, the hitter, versus Shohei Ohtani, the pitcher? Just like two completely different people.
It's fantastic. And so watching Shohei do that and watching him almost like be upset with himself when he couldn't get that pitch glove side makes me think that Shohei Ohtani will be closing a playoff game.
Should be very afraid of the prospect of Shohei Ohtani possibly starting a game one of a playoff series or finishing Walker Buehler.
Or Max Scherzer X a la like Nationals. I think once he's just going to be the Swiss Army knife.
That shit glove side, it's over.
It's over. It's over.
It's spooky hours.
Hashtag not my Cy Young winner, but like that guy is good. I agree
with you. For the record, I do agree with you.
Yeah, not my Cy Young winner.
I maintain if he does pitch, and even if he pitches moderately well, he is winning that National League MVP. I'm so sorry to that man in Chicago. I'm so sorry to him.
Oh yeah, PCA is cooked. But
PCA, Lindor, it doesn't matter. If Lindor didn't get it last year, it doesn't matter.
Lindor's never going to win it. And I'm not just saying that because he's a Met. I'm just saying that because of the way they talk about him. Like,
he's the
most respected shortstop in the league. It's not close. Like, without question.
He's a Hall of Famer, like, first ballot, like, type shit. Like, I don't understand it. Shohei's going to do exactly that. He's going to close games. The Dodgers are going to be the Dodgers. And I still got the Mets in six.
Yeah. No, Shohei the closer would be nasty. If you can get Kopech together, have him in the eighth, Shohei in the ninth, that's a lot of firepower at the back end of the bullpen. Malik, how you feel about Shohei and everything the Dodgers are going to do now with that pitching staff as you continue to get guys, wait on guys to come back? I know I meant to say this when we started. They have officially said that Roki is not throwing right now, so there's no timetable on his return. So that's another guy who's out. Glasnow, similar situation, but that was big with Roki. He won't be back for anytime soon. So what do you feel about Shohei's return to the rotation and how the Dodgers will utilize him?
Well, I mean, shout out to Shohei because he gave the Lakers or the Dodgers owner that money and that money in the back end to afford the $10 billion Lakers. I like what y'all said, though, about him coming out the bullpen at some point. But what I think now with how many pitchers they have hurt, he's not able to do that. Maybe that was their plan, bringing them back if it's all a perfect world. I think you add a starter for the Dodgers at some point with everybody out. Try to space Shohei out every 6 days, because if he gets hurt pitching again, it's wraps. What's he, second Tommy John, maybe his third? Like, he's already put together by pins and needles right now. The Dodgers are hurting the bullpen as much as they're hurt on the starting rotation. So I could see it going either way. Like you said, first start back, though, I'm not going to put too much stock on it. It was a huge series against San Diego. They're still winning the game, even though he struggled through the first. They're still winning games. That's a four-game set. It'll be finished, wrapped up when this pod drops. But, I think baseball is better just as a fan when Shohei's pitching. But I do have the nerves with how many people the Dodgers have got injured. And hopefully it doesn't come out of a necessity that they need him to start every fifth day, every 4 days, space him out, give him 6-7 days. No need to be complete games shutting out, especially in his first stint after Tommy John surgery. Usually, and I've heard this a lot this year, is after that second season or during that second season is when you're fully recovered from Tommy John. First coming back, you're still trying to get a feel for it. So we'll check out Ohtani on his next start.
Malik, yeah, bro.
Real quick, Dante. And because I have big MLB beginning on, and I was thinking about something that you said earlier about the Giants and making moves at the deadline. And then you talked about the Dodgers trying to get more. I know the Dodgers checked in on Sandy Alcantara. I just got a little sick at the thought of him ending up in a Giants uniform. The thought didn't even occur to my brain until right now. And that feels Because
that's
I mean, buy low too.
That's a really buy low. Cause like, or even like an Emmanuel Class A kind of guy, like they,
There's some options out here. And I'll go step further, bro.
It was just the first thought that I had because I know one, obviously San Francisco has, I mean, sort of the Dodgers, obviously, but San Francisco has the prospects.
Yeah, and that's why if you want to get a
too valuable to Boston,
you want to get aggressive. This is my thing. I call Alex Anthopoulos and I call this bluff. Like, you claim you're buying, y'all suck, brother. Give me Chris Sale. What you want to do? Like,
I was thinking either Chris Sale or Marcelo Ozuna.
I think Ozuna is most likely because he's the one who is probably going to walk. They're not going to pay him. They're not going to pay him at the end of the year.
No.
So he's probably going to want be the one to go, and he can get the most value. That's why also when I was talking to Malik, I brought up Michael Harris, and it's like if you're that concerned about the hitting component, there's plenty of people that need a Gold Glove caliber center fielder that would give up some prospects for that. So just and depending on how you feel.
That man in left field.
And yeah, depending on how you feel. It's options out there.
I know we're about to move on, but – it's almost good that the Giants or the Red Sox didn't hang Devers out on the trade deadline for everybody to come get me. Because imagine if the damn Dodgers got that man.
Malik, so also for those listening out there, I just want to inform you that the Tampa Bay Rays have now scored 8 unanswered runs against Baltimore. So it is now 12-8 in the bottom of the 7th.
Yeah, no, that's a nasty game.
I think we need to, actually that's another thing we need to unpack as a family. The 2025 Baltimore Orioles.
You mean my World Series pick? Yes, we do. We do need to talk about that. Yeah, we need to unpack.
I mean, listen, the Red Sox were mine, so we can both hang our predictions in the rafters because we did not cook with that one.
No, absolutely. But now, before we get into our weekend series to watch, Courtney, you already told us your series. I know you got to get on out of here. Let everybody know where they can follow you and what you got going on.
Yes, absolutely. You can follow me at 1-800-COLLABRO on Instagram, Twitter. Obviously, keep listening to High and Outside. And I'm not going to hold you. You know, do all the shopping on the bcnetshop.com. Not too much going on. Just applying for some cushy jobs. That's really all we're trying to do. I just hire me, please. I'm really smart. I swear. I know what
things mean. Dead ass.
I swear. I know what the numbers mean and how to apply them practically. Just hire me, please.
No,
I'm pretty sure you get a tax deduction if you hire me.
But no, we're gonna let it happen.
Minority.
Do we do that anymore?
With this administration, I doubt it. No.
I don't think we do that anymore.
Hire me anyway, okay? I'm really not.
Right? Like,
I'm the personality hire. Hire me.
No, we got you, Courtney. We got definitely put us down as references.
Oh yeah, honestly.
All right, Court. We'll see you next week. Appreciate you.
Cheers, guys.
Yeah. All right, fellas, so it is that time. Weekend series to watch. No, you all got 2 series. The Braves have been so – I'm still there, but it's really – I need to see some. They gotta move me. They haven't really moved me. It's been too much up and down, too much losing 2 out of 3, a lot of one-run losses, you know, blown saves, the whole 9, you name it. So outside of Ronald Acuña being – one of the best players on the planet, as usual, there's not really, you know, much to write home about with that team. So I'm going to let you guys really carry this side of it. Sid, I'll start with you. What's your series to watch this week?
So I have 2 of them, regrettably. Before we get into that, Chris Sale just threw a damn near complete game. So salute to that, man. We're starting off in the NL East. We are going to talk about the Mets and Philly. That will be the battle for the for control of the NL East at this point in the series or at this point in the season. Not much to talk about. The Mets are on a 5-game losing streak. I am not entirely sure where Philly stands right now in their last few games, but you know, rematch of the NLDS. The Mets got to win. They're on a 5-game losing streak. They just lost 2. To the Braves. We're dropping this series, so it's do or die time. And then the Tampa Bay Rays versus the Detroit Tigers this weekend. We have the AL's hottest versus the AL's best. The Rays are putting up a lot of runs, like tons of them. Junior Caminero, he's having a great year. Brandon Lowe is also having a good year. The Rays are in the middle of being sold. So there's a lot going on. The Tigers have Tarek Skubal. The Tigers have a reinvigorated Javi Baez. And so that should be two really good series to watch. I think I'm going to lean the Mets here because they are desperate. I don't think they want to lose possession of the NL East. And then I'm also going to go the Rays. They're hot. They're scoring. Hard to do. Hard to beat.
That's two very good series. Malik, man, bring us home, bro. What series you got for us this week?
Well, outside of the obvious, you guys for sure need to be tapped into that Giants versus Red Sox series. Going to be electric in Oracle Park. But for me, it's going to be the Padres against the Kansas City Royals. The Royals, the team that were on a big losing skid, had a closed-door meeting, then got swept by the Oakland A's, but bounced back with a big dub against the Texas Rangers on Tuesday. They're up one in the bottom of the seventh right now. And then you get a San Diego Padre team that, as we record this podcast, they're trying to salvage the series to tie it against the Dodgers. But imagine getting four games swept out and then headed back home against KC. Those are going to be some must-win games for them. A few of the most explosive players in baseball, you got Bobby Witt, Fernando Tatis Jr., two of my favorites, rookie Jack Catalion. Just a lot of great hitters in that lineup against the great Royals bullpen. You won't see Cole Reagans or Bubich, the ERA, damn near ERA leader in the American League for Kansas City. But I believe they have Noah Cameron on the mound, I want to say, on Friday. So, yeah, I'm going to say Kansas City versus San Diego.
Yeah, definitely, bro. San Diego, that's one team that I really enjoy watching play baseball. Like a very exciting team. You know, I know we're still waiting for them to get over the mountaintop.
They're so much fun. It's kind of like the Drake and Josh episode where it's like, oh, yeah, I'm a Padres fan because they're fun. Like, they're so much fun. They're never going to do anything with it, like, which sucks. But, like, they're cool. They're colorful. Like, they're loud. Like, if I was, like, trying to convince, like, my four-year-old niece to like baseball, I'm going to put on a Padres game.
Yeah, it's crazy to see them not being able to beat the Dodgers. They have to beat the Dodgers. Dave Roberts called them their World Series last season. And then they come out the other day and they talk about Pajes. And, oh, why would we hit you? Why would we hit you? And then this dude goes three hit game, multiple home runs against them. It probably put himself in the All-Star game conversation just off his series against them alone. So now there's another pest on that team that's going to be
so annoying. He played so well against us too.
Yeah, nah, man, it's going to be great. It's going to be some great baseball down the stretch. I'm really excited, and I think. Once we get to, even though like this trade has everybody excited about the trade deadline ain't close. Like it's not like it's next week or something like that. We got August some time, 1st,
right?
Yeah, we got some time before any of these moves really go down. So it's gonna be interesting to see how these rosters get reshaped and how we go into the playoff push. But you know, we are officially a month away from All-Star Week, I should say. You know, so it's about that time to really start paying attention and locking into these teams, because at this point, it's not a trend anymore. You are who you are, and we're going to see which teams fix it and which teams fade off. So that's all we got for you guys today. I appreciate everybody for coming in today. Slash Sid Park, you know where to find my boy. _ Team Mill, you know where to find him. He's doing a lot of great things. Check him out at the ballpark. You know where to find me at October Zone Tay. And for everything's Barbershare Network, make sure you follow us at the Barbershare Co. on Instagram and Twitter. Subscribe to our Patreon at patreon.com/Barbershare Network. Like I said, we got four tiers. I say it every week. Four very affordable tiers. $10 on down. Spend a couple bucks with us. We would be great. It would be greatly appreciated. For all merch, make sure you check out bcnetshop.com. And for everything Barbershare Network, our live schedule updates, every podcast, every editorial, everything we got going for Bears, OTAs, training camp is around the corner. We're trying to get some more content for you. Trust me, we may have an announcement coming soon with that.
Make sure you check us out at thebcnet.com. That's all we got for y'all today. And once again, thank you for checking out episode 10 of the High and Outside podcast. We'll see y'all next week.